Luke chapter 10, I have a good reading, verse 25. Very familiar scripture. Not be anything new to you this morning, but just seemed like the Lord's had on my heart all week, for a couple weeks now, to be honest with you. And just want to do my best to be obedient to what the Lord has for us today. Luke chapter 10, and begin reading in verse number 25. You've stand with me if you can in England, honor and reverence and reading the word of the Lord. I'll read several verses if you need to see it, you can help yourself. Verse 25, we'll begin our reading. The Bible said, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? He answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He said unto him, notice this, now Jesus said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, talking about the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then verse 30 down through verse 37, you'll find a interesting account. We've come to refer to it as the story or the account of the Good Samaritan. Notice what your Bible said. Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. We'll stop reading that for a second time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I sure do love you this morning. Lord, I'm thankful for the privilege, God, the honor to be back in your house. Lord, thank you for what you've done already. Lord, I pray just for a little while this morning. Would you meet with us? Lord, I pray you give me unction, give me utterance. Lord, that only comes from you. Meet every need represented. Lord, if I be more discouraged, would you encourage your heart to be walking apart as it's away. Lord, I pray to all of them close to you once again. Most of all, we pray this morning, if I be one of the missed lost, to know that yet. Lord, I pray you save us from last and too late. We'll be careful. You all praise, all the honor, and all the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with me. Quickly, by way of introduction, let's notice a little bit about the context in chapter 10. In verse number 1, go down through about verse number 16, I guess, we see a fairly interesting account. Jesus sends the 74th in pairs, two by two, sends them forth. There's some great teaching and preaching there in that scripture as far as soul winning and as far as how to deal with people. And be honest with you, even we find out later in Paul's epistles, Paul draws from this chapter what Jesus said. And we even find some instruction on how to take care of the man of God, how to take care of those that are serving the Lord. Then in verse number, what is it? Is it verse number 18? Is that right? Verse 18, verse 17, I'm sorry. The 70 return. They give their victorious report. Boy, I enjoy that. They come in and they tell Jesus that even the devils are subject unto them. And Jesus makes an interesting statement. He said, tells them that he saw Satan fall from heaven as lightning. Look back to verse 18. He said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be any hurt to you. Notwithstanding in this, now watch this, it's interesting. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Jesus says they come back to man. They're giving their report, if you would, what's happened. They said even the devils are subject unto us. And instead of patting them on the back, Lord, Jesus said, you're rejoicing in the wrong thing. Right? What he said was, interesting. He said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven as lightning. What he said was, that's nothing new. That Jesus knew that the greater was he that said, I said, he that's in the world. He understood that. He said, you're rejoicing in the wrong thing. Rejoice not over the fact that you have power over scorpions and serpents and devils and all this, but rather, what the Bible said, that your names are written in heaven. Well, that's enough preaching right there, preacher, all day. Then we find something interesting. They come back and give the report. Jesus, you teach them this great truth that they are not rejoiced over the results necessarily, but that rather because their names are written in heaven. Then in verse number 21, watch what your Bible said. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. My, what truth that is. He rejoices down through verse 24 in the fact that these 70 have been able to see these things, and they've been able to witness these things. And what a truth that is. And he rejoices that when you and I are, I don't want to say prosperous, but when we're affected, when we're in his will, we're about his business, he rejoices in the fact that he rejoiced in that hour. Verse 25, complete change in the chapter. The Bible said, verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up. Well, that's never good, is it? All right? Behold, a certain lawyer stood up, watch this, and tempted him, talking about Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Let's look at it together, this account of the great Samaritan. Note them, if you would, the petition. The Bible said that a certain lawyer stood up. We see his intent. The Bible said, and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, verse 26, he said to him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? That's interesting. It's very interesting when you look and see how Jesus deals with different people in the scripture. Some he's very open with. Some he speaks in parables. Some he speaks in parables makes it make the truth easier to understand. And some he speaks in parables to make it harder to understand. Some he's very forthcoming. Some he speaks a little more hidden and reserved. There's times in the scripture where he has much to say. There's times, Earl, that he only speaks one word, and there's times he doesn't speak a thing. It's interesting to see how he deals with different individuals. But here I say, he does something interesting. He says, what saith the law? How readest thou? What he's asking is, what's your interpretation of it? There. What is Jesus really, what he's really saying, John, is, what do you think? There, right?
Yeah.
What's his answer? Interesting. Bible 7, verse 27, he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. I don't have time to deal with it this morning, but that's an interesting study in those two statements that gentleman just made. Verse 28, Jesus answered him, and he said to him, thou hast answered right.
What about that?
Here this lawyer is a lost man. Not Michelle. We spend this petition. He's not interested necessarily. He's not looking for a truth. He's not looking for guidance. He's not looking. Bible said he spoke to him. He rose up to tempt him. Isn't that right? To tempt Jesus. And he gives his answer. Jesus said, thou hast answered right. That's interesting to me. That tells me, surely, that a man can have a head knowledge of the scriptures and of the Lord and still not be right with God.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Jesus said, you've answered right. What's it? Verse number, where am I at? Verse 28. Bible said, verse 28, what's this? He said to him, thou hast answered right. This do, thou shalt live. Well, that's the kicker, isn't it? Problem is, he's right in what he said, but the truth of the matter is, he can't do it. And neither can we. Alright? Oh, let me say this. On these two, loving the Lord, loving your neighbor, on these, I believe Brother Chris asked me about it. Not exactly, but more or less, on these two hang all the law and prophets. You love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And if you do that, everything, all the religious commandments, all the religious laws, that'll be taken, but the relationship between you and God will be taken care of. You just love with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Well, I mean, we don't.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say we love him because he first loved us, but we're all guilty. If we'd be honest, saved or lost. We're guilty of something coming up, and we'll, I'll be honest with you. I went for years and didn't hunt, didn't fish, and, then boys of mine come along, and, I'll just say this, I'll just be real honest with you. Somebody asked me the other day, not in the church, a friend of mine, they said, you reckon you get a little bit too into fishing? I mean, you know, you'll keep it balanced. And I just said, well, there's something. Here's what I told him. I said, I don't want my boys. My boys are enjoying that. I said, I don't want my boys to grow up one day, look back and say, my daddy had a preacher, look at him and fish. I just don't want that. I'll cut some other things out. I'll stay a little bit later that night, but I'm going to try to take them fishing. They won't go, I'm going to try to take them. But what I'm saying is this. I will say, it's easy. I enjoy it. I like to go fishing. I like to do those things. And it's easy sometimes. I'll get real into it. John, you have to keep a balance because I'm not careful. I'll get to love it a little bit more than I should. I just remember a lot of it. We all have things we enjoy. If you're not careful, you'll get to love it. It doesn't say loving with most of your heart. It's love with all your heart.
Yeah.
It says love with most of your mind, but all your mind. Isn't it?
Yeah.
We can't do it. Jesus said, you'll do this and you'll live. Problem is, he couldn't do it. What's verse 29? What's this?
Interesting. Now remember, he seeks the tempter. Verse 29, the Bible said, but he, talking about that lawyer, willing to justify himself. He didn't like that. What Jesus really has done in verse 28 is cut into the quick. What he really said was, if you could do what you just said, you'd be all right. There, right? That lawyer, might be willing to justify himself, what the Bible said. Verse number 29. But he willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? There, right?
Yeah.
What he said was, well, if that's what I'm supposed to do, who's my neighbor? That's, I don't have time to get to that, but isn't that seems like that? What he's really trying to say is this. I remember one time, when I was in school, they told us we had to write our name on the test. You know, had to write our name on. Well, this boy didn't write his name. And so the teacher was very hardcore. So what happened, Allie, was when she graded the test, give it back, she failed because he didn't write his name on it. And I'll never forget, crazy enough, they're just asking for mercy. He said, well, you never told me exactly where you wanted me to write. And she said, well, it says right there, but you didn't tell me to write it there. And that was his argument. He just stood his ground. That's his story. He's going to stick to it. It's kind of what this man's to do.
Yeah.
There, right? Well, you didn't tell me who is my name, right? Jesus is going to show him what he is. Interesting. What your Bible said. He asked him this question, who is my neighbor? Jesus answers him with this story we've come to call the Good Samaritan. Let's notice a few things about it. Let me say something real quick. We'll get into it. Notice this. All your asks the Lord what to do in order to inherit eternal life. Many use this scripture to prove a works-based salvation. As we look at it, we look at Jesus' response to him, we'll find that's far from the truth. In fact, it becomes a beautiful, beautiful picture of salvation by grace through faith. We'll see that as we look at it. All right, look with me in verse 30, if you would. Bible said Jesus answering said a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among the thieves which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. Let's look, we've seen the petition. This lawyers asking these questions in the attempt to tempt him. Let's notice quickly the pictures and then we'll get into the message, alright? This wounded man in verse 30, he becomes a picture of the sinner. Watch what your Bible said. Notice the similarities. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, always moving down. Isn't that interesting? Coming down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's moving down as the sinner's always on a downward slope. I don't mean that funny. I don't mean that, I don't mean that laughing. I don't even mean it, John, in the sense that they're going down to hell. If you look at a sinner's life, though, they're constantly going down. There's nothing getting better. It's getting, the longer they go, the more they're getting tangled up in sin and in shame and in guilt. That, it's just human nature. It's just the sin nature. we inherited from Adam and Eve. While I'm on that stuff, let me just say this. It ought to be every mom and daddy and grandma and grandpa's prayer that the Lord save your youngins and your grand youngins at an early age. I understand they get just as saved when they're 30 or 40 years old. But I tell you, the longer they go, the farther down they'll go, the deeper they'll get entrenched. And that heart will get cold and hard and stiff-necked. Oh, my, what a wonderful thing. I heard somebody say one time, we was at a youth meeting several years ago. I was a young preacher. I sit beside a buddy of mine, and they finally come in and give his testimony. He's talking about drugs, taking on drugs and drinking and all the things that he done before he got saved, and how God had saved him out of that. And preacher friend of mine sat beside him, and he looked over at me, and he said, boy, I wish I had a testimony like that. That's a wonderful testimony. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not trying to be super spiritual, but no, I had myself a fit in that meat. I come slap on glue. Not because he saved me from all, out of those things, because he saved me from those things. I never knew what it was to drink a beer. I never had a needle in my arm. I never knew those things. Isn't that a blessing this way? He's moving downward. He's going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. A sinner's always moving downward. We see it in his position. Watch what your Bible says. Not only do we see him moving downward, but the Bible said he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Oh my, isn't that the story of how many mom and daddies ever heard that or seen that play out in maybe a teenager's life or a middle schooler's life thing? Could you say he fell amongst the wrong crowd? He got to hang with the wrong people. He fell among thieves. I thought about that this week, and I thought, isn't that how it always works? It seems like they'll fall amongst their own crowd. They'll take what they can from him and leave them alone. And that's what happens in the story. They stripped him of his clothes, took what he had, and the Bible said earlier, they left him half dead. That's what the Bible said. That's where it differs from a sinner. I saw something this week. I can't remember if I read it in a book or if I saw it on Facebook, but I said there was a preacher one day that had made this statement that a sinner carried a heavy load of sin and shame. And after the service, a gentleman came up to him and said, how much does sin weigh? Does it weigh 100 pounds? Weigh 8 pounds? The way this is the way that, I don't feel a thing. And here's what the preacher told him. Said, well, if you took a corpse out in the graveyard and laid 1,000 pounds on it, would he feel it? And he said, no, he wouldn't feel it. He's dead. And that preacher said, you don't realize how heavy your sin is. You're dead. Isn't that right? A sinner's dead. I said we were dead in trespasses and sin. Yeah. That's what this man's got. He went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell amongst the wrong crowd. They took what they could from the world, and the devil always take what they can get from you. And heaven does nothing less. All they leave you as a dead man. And that is a picture of a sinner. That's what he pictures here in our text. Notice the Bible said, verse 30. That part of verse 30 of the Bible said, leaving him, they stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. He's a picture in our text of a sinner. Notice what your Bible said, verse 31. And by chance, boy, if I can get ready to pick up, sounds like, by chance there came down a certain priest that what? When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. How sad. Really is a sad account. Here this man is, he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves. They stripped him of his raiment, took what they could from him. They departed. They left him. Here he is. They wounded him, the Bible said. Here he is laying in the ditch, laying on the side of the road. He's lost everything. He's hit rock bottom, if you would. And wouldn't you know it, of all people, Ronald, here comes the priest coming by his way. Well, you know the priest will do something for him. Sure, the priest will do something. The Bible said when he came to him, he passed on the... Watch what the Bible said. Let me make sure I read it right so I don't quote it wrong. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Let me give you a picture of what happened. Noah's going to be the wounded man, all right? This priest passing by, coming down the road. He sees it. Right. Doesn't say he come to it. He sees it. And when he sees him, the priest says, I ain't going to mess with that. I'm just going to pass him up.
Yeah.
Yep. Didn't even go through him. Didn't even check on him. Didn't even try to hit him. Just saw him and passed on the other side. That priest in our text, the wounded man, becomes a picture of the sinner. The priest in our text becomes a picture of religion. Is that right?
Right.
The world makes this statement really is, I don't mean it ugly, but it really is a foolish statement. They're ignorant of what they're saying. Well, getting that back first of all, the ignorance doesn't mean that somebody, for lack of a term, that somebody's stupid. It just means they don't know any better.
Yeah.
They just, but they'll say, he found religion. Well, God help him, though, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're
right.
Yeah. Religion will do very little. What that priest was saying was this. He sees that man. He sees his condition. And God, the priest, a picture of religion, could not go help him. Lest he bar himself. Alright?
Yeah.
Couldn't help it. Lest he messed up his priestly garments. Lest he messed up his the way he looked. Lest he mar himself. So Nancy, he just passed by the other side. So it said like this, what he was really saying surely was, well, if he get cleaned up and he make it to me, if he present himself more decently, I'm trying to hit him, but tell him, I can't do nothing. He's like that. He wants to live over he is. I don't want to do anything. I can't get near anybody. Can I say this? Religion will send somebody to hell quicker than anything else I know.
Alright?
Because that's what religion does. You feel like you've cleaned yourself up. You feel like you've presented yourself. You may look better. You may, I could be like this. If I just felt another day I was, I can't remember what I'd done, Kirk, I did, I had grease and dirt and mud, and I just felt. And I could have went home and, I could have put my clothes off and put on a shirt and a tie and a jacket and, dressed up real nice and, I could have went out and everybody that seen me, I might look better, but the truth of the matter was, I still nasty.
Yeah.
Alright? Have the change take place or to really have an effect. That's what religion does. It just covers it up. That man wasn't that priest wasn't going to mess with us anymore himself. Now watch what the Bible said when it's verse 31. Another interesting thing happens. The priest passes by on the other side of the street. Then notice this. Verse 32. Happened likewise the Levite when he was at the place. Now watch this. A little bit different. Came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. What about that? A little bit different. The Levite, the priest, by the way, he saw him pass on the other side. The Levite, the Bible said, came and looked on him. He walked up to him. Oh, it really is beautiful when you see him. He walked up to him, looked on him. Still was nothing but God. Way back by the other side. Priest becomes a picture of religion. The Levite becomes a picture of the law.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible says, book of Galatians, the law is our schoolmaster.
Right.
It brings us to a place of repentance.
Right. Yeah.
Cannot save us, Nancy. In fact, it condemns us. But it brings us to a place of repentance. Oh my, that Levite, he didn't just pass by on the other side. He did come near enough. And I really believe, I'm not trying to put words in the scripture, but I really believe Noah that when he came and looked on him, he said, boy, you're in a pitiful shape, aren't you? How'd you get here? Don't you know you should have stayed in Jerusalem? Don't you know you shouldn't have fell in love with him? Don't you know you should have fell in the wrong crowd? Well, you're pitiful. You all lay here and die. You're half dead already. That's what the law did to me, by the way.
Yeah.
Alright. He had to reveal to me that I was a sinner, that I did have a death sentence for me, and I was going to die and go to hell. But when it comes down to it, John the law could not save me. He still just passed on the other side. Alright. Remember over there, Ruth chapter 4, Boaz, Ruth come and laid Boaz's feet, chapter 3, and said, spread thy skirt over me, and Boaz said that there was a nearer kinsman picture of grace in Boaz, and the law and the nearer kinsman, and you'll remember that when it comes down to it, that the nearer kinsman earth said he could not redeem her. Let's see, Mar, his own hair. What he said was, I can't redeem a Gentile. That looked bad on me. Boaz said, oh my, that's coming good. Boaz said, if you won't, I will. That's what grace does. That's what happens in our text. See, Levite comes and looks on him. He reveals to him his lost condition. But Michelle, he still can't help him. Let's see, Mar, and say it. Passion. Watch this, verse 33. I gotta hurry. Here in a minute, I sound like Brooke Kenny. I'm giving you a whole lot of introduction. I'll preach right here in just a minute. Verse 33, watch what your Bible says. Talk about the pictures. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Well, Lord help this fellow. I mean, if the priest didn't help him, he's a picture of religion. And the Levite didn't help him, he's a picture of the law. This Samaritan surely was. Because the Samaritan in your Bible, they was known as half-breeds. They were hated, half Jew, half Gentile. The Jews, John, hated them with a passion. That's right.
Yeah.
That was a great dispute among the Samaritans and the Jews. The Jews hated them. Surely the priest didn't help him and the Levite didn't help him. Surely the good, since Samaritan had passed by, surely he's not going to help him. The Bible said when he came to where he was and saw him, had compassion on him. That Samaritan that's hated, despised, rejected. That's a picture of the Savior. All right?
Yeah.
He was despised and rejected and refused. Oh, my Lord. About to come slap on the loose. He was at the back that he came to his own received him not. He was despised, he was rejected. He came into his hometown and they crucified him. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was despised. Imagine there was no farmer coming to Savannah that he should be despised. He was despised. Get to me. He is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. When he came to where I was, but come on, look. When he came to where I was and when he saw me, unlike religion, he passed on the other side. Unlike the law, he didn't look at me and reveal to me my lost condition and leave. But after he came to where I was, and he saw me and had compassion. He is a picture that takes to the Savior and of his grace. So see the pictures. That's those few things. Not only about the pictures. Notice if you would the passion in verse number 33. Watch what your Bible says. Verse 33. But a certain Samaritan as he journeyed came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. Notice the sin of his passion. The Bible said, but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed, watch this now, came where he was. Not this wounded man crawled his way to Samaria, but John the Samaritan came to where he was. Do you see the similarities there? When I couldn't get to him, I was dead in trespasses and sins. I could not get to him. But thank God he came to where I was. It's a picture of the city of the passion. He loved me because of his love. Or he came to where I was. Watch what your Bible said. As he journeyed, he came to where he was. Watch what your Bible said. Let me read it so I don't butcher it. Acts 10, verse number 30. Verse number 33. Which is the same. Notice the sympathy. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. About that. Not, why are you doing here? Not, they listen, that Samaritan would have been hated. And in turn, he ought to hate the Jews. He didn't stir up a strife. He didn't bring up the rift between them. He didn't bring up the differences. The Bible said he saw him and he had compassion on him. That still amazes me that God and the Son could come. It amazed me to know that he'd come to where I was. But what really amazed me that he'd look at me and say, I know me, Michelle. I know what I am. I know me better than anybody. He still knows me better than I do. How could he have compassion on me? But that's what he did. Not only has he defended, he came to where I was, but we see the sympathy. He saw him and had compassion on him. Watch what your Bible said. I like this. It gets even better. You'll see this picture as we go forward. So we see the sin. We see the sympathy. Notice the symbolism. Watch what he did in verse 34. The Bible said he went to him. What about that? Not down where he was. Went to him and bound up his wounds. He carried for him, and that right, he bound him up. He put dressings and bound the wound so that he wouldn't be bleeding out anymore. Watch what your Bible says. This is interesting. Pouring in oil and wine. Now, he came to it. In fact, we see that he had compassion on him, had sympathy. He went down to him. He got down in the side of the ditch with him and Bible says, no, that he bound up his wounds. That's interesting. He stopped the bleeding, if you would. But then what's interesting is John, the Bible says that he's pouring in oil and wine. That's interesting. Oil in your Bible, always, always, always a picture of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Always. Y'all get that in this saying. Here this wounded man is, gone a sinner. Picture of a sinner. Laid in the ditch, filled with the wrong crowd. They wounded it with his clothes. And here he is exposed. He's wounded. He's been left for half dead. I mean, he's in a pitiful shape. Isn't that right? The Samaritan comes by. The law comes by, they don't want to do with him. Religion comes by, they don't want anything to do with him. But the Savior passes by. Gets down in the ditch with him. Bible said, Psalm 40, we misquote that a lot. I've heard all my life, I've heard preachers and songs and everything else, Kirk, say that he lifted me up out of a horrible pit. That's not what the Bible says. That he brought me up. No, I'm not being critical. It's significant. Can I show you something? Watch this. If I brought that handkerchief and I lift it up out of a horrible pit, that means I stoop down and pick it up. That's good. That's fine and easy. But if I brought it out, is that right? Watch this. If I brought it out, it'd be like this. It'd be like me dropping that handkerchief. And me being so much higher than he is.
Right?
So much higher. Oh, it's far greater, John, than lifting. He brought me up. Isn't that right? That means, that implies, Rochelle, that he got down where I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on,
man.
He got down. Not just stooped down and picked me up. He got down where I was and picked me up and cradled me when I couldn't bring myself up. He brought me out of a horrible pit. Isn't that right? Oh, my goodness, I couldn't save myself. He didn't far more just die for me. He got down where I was. In the muck and the mire and the filth and the sin. The Bible said that he left the spheres of heaven to communion with the Father. To dwell among the sinful world. Got down where I was and bound up my wounds. And brought me up out of a horrible pit. I'm not coming to establish my goings. Set my feet on a rock. Put a new song in my mouth. But the Bible said this Samaritan not just bound up his wounds. But the Bible said pouring in oil and wine. That oil is a picture of the Holy Ghost. Can I say this? He did far more than that. He saved me. Than just bind my wounds and stop the bleeding. He indwelt me with the sweet Holy Ghost of God. He put something on the inside. Oh, I'm about to come unglued. The Bible said he bound his wounds. Pouring in all that wine. Here's the picture. Caught in the wound. He poured in some oil. I think what that wine is here in just a second, but I got to tell you the oil first. He poured in some oil. He poured in some wine. And then he put that and bound it. That's security, by the way. What he was doing was keeping what was on the inside here. Oh, I'm about to come unglued. That oil wasn't going to come out. The wine wasn't going to come out. It had been bound. I believe Paul said something to the effect of whereby you're sealed of the day of redemption. I'm glad, thank God, he permanently indwelled me with the Holy Ghost. Comfort lives inside of me. He bound up my wounds and wept in the Holy Ghost. That's the old, that wine. Wine in the Bible always is symbolic of joy. I say this not only he found me at my lowest point and wept me with the Holy Ghost. That's not all he gave me that night. He didn't just give me the Holy Ghost, but I'm glad, thank God. He gave me joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's not been the same since that night. Things look much different now. I've been indwelt with the Holy Ghost. I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. And he bare my wounds, keeping those things in mind. Oh, my. Oh, what a picture of eternal security. We see the oil on the wine, the symbolism. The oil is a picture of the Holy Ghost, shows our indwelling. Wine's a picture of joy. He bound our wounds of sin and shame and gave us joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Then notice what the Bible said in verse 34. and went to him, bound up his blood, and pouring it over and wine. Now watch this, boy, this gets even better. The Bible said, and said he, and I'm talking about this Samaritan, set the wounded man on his own beast, brought him to an inn, took care of him. My, my, my. Preacher, what else could he do? Well, he got down where he was, came to where he was, had compassion on him, though he got down where he was, bound his wound, poured it over and wine. And then the Bible said, Michelle, that he set him on his own beast. What that means is this. That wounded man's laid there in the ditch. I don't know whether it was a donkey. I don't know whether it was a camel. I don't know whether it was a... I don't have no idea, but he had a beast of some kind. This Samaritan come riding up on him. Well, all I know is this. When he came, that Samaritan was riding on a beast. And when he left, the wounded man was riding on him. There was a substitution. There, right? The Bible said it like this. He that knew no sin became sin for us.
Yeah.
That we might become the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was a substitution. He came twice from Scripture reading. Horse came and said, hold on, I'm well pleased. Is that right?
Yeah.
God could not have said that about you and I. In fact, John, he couldn't even look at you and I. We had so much sin and shame, God could not look on sin.
Yeah.
At Calvary, when my sin and your sin was placed upon the Savior, and he didn't just die, he didn't take our sins, he became sin. There's a difference. He became sin. All of sin has been paid for. He became sin.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What's this? Kenny, I think Kenny quoted this morning when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The God wrought it twice and said, behold, my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. But my sin and your sin came upon his back. God turned his back on his son. Is that right?
Right.
Christ himself said, why hast thou forsaken me? Said, preacher, why would he do that? Nancy, do you know what God says? When he looks at you and I today and say, behold my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. Ain't that amazing?
Yeah.
Maybe y'all can live better than I do, but that amazes me.
Yeah.
He looks at me, when he looks at me, he doesn't see my sin, he doesn't see my faults, he doesn't see my failures, he sees the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
And at Calvary, when he looked at Christ, he didn't see his holiness. In his purity, he saw my sin, your sin, all mine. It's been a substitution.
Yeah.
He took his face and set this man on it. Isn't that beautiful? Remember where he was? Pour him oil and wine, joy, and Holy Ghost, and bound him up, and I mean, had compassion on him, and did all that, and then set him on a beast. That's a substitution. Put him in his place. Where he rightly should have been.
Yeah.
What love, what passion. Matter of fact, I say this, the Bible said we're heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. You know what that means? That means everything that's Christ is mine and yours. He set us where he should have been. Isn't that beautiful? It's in substitution. What you, I'll hurry. I'll not be very long. I'm almost done. What is the substitution? Notice with me, if you would, the supply. Verse 34, the Bible said, brought him to an inn and took care of him. Verse 35, and on the morrow, when he departed. What about that? What a picture. Johnny did all this for him, but on the morrow, he didn't stay with him. He left. Oh my. That sounds familiar. I'm a looking for him to come any time. Watch what your Bible says. From my verse 35, on the morrow he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said to him, watch this, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest, for when I come again, did you catch that? When I come again, I will repay thee. To see his life. Her Lord said, give him everything that he needed. And so, is anybody about that? I tell him again, I will. Is that right?
Oh, do you see the picture? You see, as a picture of the Savior, how that He came and He saw him, He had compassion on him, He loved him, He cared for him, He bound his wounds, put in the love of man, He sent him on his beast, and He said, I've got to go, but I took care of you while you're here. When I come back, I take care of you even more. Can I say this? The best is yet to come. As good as it is down here, I don't have any sad stories to tell. I know these hard times. I know these tough days. But this life's been good. He's blessed me. He's been good to me. But the best is yet to come. That's what He's saying. And when I return, when I come again, it'll be even better than it is now.
Watch this, we see the supply. He cared for him, gave him everything that he needed. You realize this morning, what all he's given us, he's invited us with the Holy Ghost. He gives us joy, give us peace, give us the Word of God, give us a place to worship, give us family, give us friends, he's been good to us. He gives everything we need. Isn't that right? We see the supply. Then notice the proclamation, verse 36, and I quit. Bible says in verse 36, which now of these three, Jesus talking again to the lawyer, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Jesus said, I told you a story about a man that fell among thieves and was left for dead. Which one of the three do you think was the neighbor of him? Watch what the man said, verse 37. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. All right. Now, can I show you the proclamation? I really don't think this morning. I told you a minute ago in verse number, what was it? Verse number 28. He said to him, thou sinnest right, this do, and thou shalt live. Jesus knew he was trying to tempt him. Jesus knew God more than the man did, that he could not love the Lord with all his heart, all his mind, all his soul, and all his spirit. Love his neighbors himself. He knew he couldn't do that, and we can. When Jesus told him in verse number 37, Jesus said, then go and do that likewise. I really don't think, you don't have to agree with me, but I don't think he was telling you to be like the Samaritan. I think he was telling you to be like the wounded man. All right? I think what he was saying, John, was, it's time to quit relying on the law. It's time to quit relying on religion.
Yeah.
You have to realize there's going to have to be somebody that's despised and rejected.
Yeah.
That's going to come to where you are. And love you. Have compassion on you. Find that little room you're born in your own mind. Set you on his face and care for you. Give you everything that you need. The question, one of the original questions of what the Bible says, verse number 25, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Here's my question to you. What did that wounded man do? Nothing. Didn't do a thing. All right? Saved by grace through faith. All right? So, preacher, how can you see his faith? Well, he trusted that he's coming back again. He trusted when he came, he paid the bill. Right. Did it cost him nothing? Did it spend nothing? That's America, you know it all. You look at me like I'm a campus of New Day. You don't have to agree with me. But I really believe, John, Jesus was not teaching a work to say salvation. I promise you that.
Right.
I really believe when he said, go and do that likewise, he was saying, by grace, through faith, God himself, he is in you. And religion will never save a man. The law will never save a man. It takes grace, through faith. Isn't that beautiful? See how that comes together. That man that was wounded, sitting on the side of the road, how that he ended up on that Samaritan's beast. Ended up in that Samaritan's room. That Samaritan. Wonderful. Beautiful. Let's stand our feet. These musicians, they would. Give me a song.